This strategy, I noted in your blog post on the Security Debrief blog, is something that that appeals to me, which is very simple. There are really only two main concepts in this. Talk about those, please.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a very thin document. It's a good, easy read for people who feel like reading it. But it's a thematic document that focuses really on two, as you say, two key principles or goals, as it's stated in the strategy. The first goal focuses on kind of what we normally think about, or at least since 9/11 we thought about supply chain security, which is the sort of what's the right balance between security and the efficient movement of commerce. And so the focus here is, what do we need to do to make the supply chain system, the global supply chain system, secure against major threats, and also at the same time work to make it efficient for its main purpose, which is fundamentally the movement of trade through the global economy. So that's the first goal. But the second goal is also, I think it's probably kind of where the real innovation in this strategic document is, which is focusing on the resilience of the global supply chain system and looking at the system as a piece of critical infrastructure for the global economy itself, and the need to make sure that come what may, no matter what happens, whether there's a terrorist attack or a pandemic or some natural disaster like Fukushima, that the system as a whole keeps going and that it's role in ensuring global prosperity keeps going.
What are the missing links or the missing elements in that resiliency?
What are the missing links? What do you mean, in the sense of sort of where things stand right now?
Yeah, as we sit today, what needs to be done to shore that up and to make sure that resilience not only exists but perpetuates itself?
Well, I think, I mean, for one thing, I think that, you know, one of the real efforts on the strategy going forward will be to work with the global private sector, which it's an effort that I'll also be helping out with, and also with our international partners, and sort of thinking as the system as a whole, and especially in terms of, you know, key corridors through the system, as to how to improve that operation from the perspective of, let's say if something does happen, how does trade resume? How does trade resume quickly, you know, whether it be through more secure supply chains, such as through the Customs Trade Partnership Against Terrorism program, or across the land borders through programs like FAST. But also the other thing about this, I mean, let's walk back a little bit to the 2002, to the West Coast labor dispute. I don't know whether your listeners will recall that, but this was when I'm calling into this from Los Angeles, where I live. But I remember during that period this was when all the West Coast seaports shut down because of a labor dispute, and it really shut down trans-Pacific maritime trade. And there was really no choice because essentially as a result of this, Mexican-Canadian ports weren't big enough. A lot of the vessels that move across the Pacific Ocean are what they call post-Panamax vessels, so they couldn't fit through the Panama Canal that's being widened now and deepened. But at the time, they couldn't get through. And so essentially it shut down trans-Pacific trade. And when you say that, that's an easy way of saying U.S.-China trade, mm-hmm. which is huge to the global economy and to the U.S. economy. And that cost, you know, $2 billion a day is the main estimates there. So when we focus on resilience, we think about, well, let's work in collaboration with the private sector and with our international partners to think about, well, if there's a major disruption like that, how do we work through that quickly and keep the movement of trade efficient and secure?
Mm-hmm. The whole idea of the global supply chain, I guess to some folks, is so existential that it's hard to even wrap your arms around it. What is the next step in this to not only solve some of the issues that you're talking about, but also to make this more digestible for people who don't maybe look at it as much as they should?
Well, sure. I mean, it's easy to say the global supply chain as if there's one global supply chain.
Right.
Of course, the reality is that there are thousands, if not millions, of global supply chains, and the global supply chain has existed, you know, in some form, a system has existed for moving goods across, you know, international borders and through the global system since ancient times. So what we really mean is a system. You know, how do we think about the system? And the system itself is decentralized. It's, for the most part, not owned by government, and it's the key nodes of it are not owned by government. It's the private sector. It's individuals. So it's the classic circumstances, what they call a global commons. So the next steps on sort of how we sort of translate this thematic document into sort of real measurable progress is essentially what the government is going to be doing is working, number one, with the private sector through a it's essentially a working group through the critical infrastructure group, but it's a working group that's going to be working and developing recommendations and soliciting the views of the private sector to develop an implementation plan. And a separate piece of that will be working with international organizations and international governments, and the State Department will be leading that effort to gain feedback and the views of our international partners and organizations like the World Customs Organization and the International Maritime Organization, so we can develop a real implementation plan that's due to be presented to the President sometime over the next year.